How do you define love? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? One thing scientists cannot prove, how people love one another. They just can't. Some say it is a feeling or an emotion that they have very little control over. Others say love is an action, and we have control of how we act and how we do love. So is love a verb, speaking about our emotions and our affections? Or is it a verb, showing our actions and reactions as we do love? Well, love is both a noun and a verb. Love is of such an encompassing word that it covers the very broad area of life. When someone says, "I love you," what do they mean? No, in the New Testament, the word love is translated from four different Greek words which have different meanings, yet we in English only use one word to describe them, and that is the word love. Four Greek words having different meanings, and we only have one word, love. This is why it's so difficult to understand the word love. The four Greek words found in the original Greek text are storge, phileo, eros, and agape. Storge is a family love that we have for our brothers and for our sisters and for our parents. Filial love. This is the type of love friends have for one another. When you and I go up and hug each other, we show that love with them. It is a deep, it's an abiding fellowship love, and it is the type of love that you will see within the church setting as we come to greet each other. And then eros love is the intimate love that husband and wife share in marriage. These three loves can be considered as nouns, as emotional, and as affectionate. And then the last of the four Greek words is the agape love. This is God's love, the love that God has for each of us. And I like to think of this verb, or this love as a verb, because there was a lot of action going on in God's love. The two scriptural texts that we read today, that Judy read for us, 1 John 4, and then John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, speak about the agape love of God. And I like to think of these texts as talking about love in its verb form. You know, an individual was to read at a wedding, was to read a passage of Scripture, and he was told to read from 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The man who fears is not made perfect in love." But this individual did not really know the Bible. And instead of reading from 1 John, he read from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Verse 18, which says, "And Jesus answered her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband.'" So make sure you know which of the books of John you are reading, because you know John wrote five books of the Bible, New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that the apostle John wrote those five books. We usually think of only the Gospel of John. So we need to say that verb of love is an action. It is love coming from God. And we heard the scriptural text say that God is love. In the 1 John 4 passage, it starts out with a call to action. John addresses us as friends and he says, "Let us love one another." Whoa, Pastor, hold on. You don't know what you're saying. You want me to love that neighbor of mine? The one who dislikes me, who hates me? The one who piles his trash up on part of my property? Who blows his leaves onto my backyard? And who ridicules me for going to church and believing in Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Pastor, he's not a believer. How can I love him? Yes. Jesus told us that we are to love our neighbor. We are to love him as ourselves. You know, God's way isn't the easiest way, but it's the best way to live. Showing love in a godly manner will result in a better relationship than showing disdain or revenge upon our neighbor. In fact, if you love him, you may cause him to become a believer. For the love of God is very, very powerful. So how do we love those whom we deem as not lovable? Well, John gives us some insight. He says, love comes from God. If you try and love your neighbor with your emotions, you're going to fail. And guess what? You'll probably end up just like your neighbor. For John continues, everyone who loves, the agape, who loves has been born of God, knows God, because God is love. We are to love others with God's love, the love that God has given to each of us. The Apostle John tells us that God has shown his love to us by sending his one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He goes on to say, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Pastor, you're right. You're right. We ought to love others. But you know, I still have a problem doing that in some cases. Well, you know, you're right in thinking so, but that's because you are still trying to love the unlovable with your own emotion and your own being. For John reveals to us how to accomplish this. As believers in Christ, God has given us His Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit. In the gospel text, Jesus is speaking and says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And who is that? It's the Spirit of truth. The love that we have for others will become the love that God has for us. Because as believers in Jesus, His Spirit will be living in us, guiding us all into true love. This is agape love. It's spiritual love. It is not physical or emotional love. For Jesus tells us to love him and to keep his commandments. He sums up his commands when he responds to a question by a Pharisee. In Matthew 22, 36 to 40, the Pharisee asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't stop with that commandment, and he continued and said, "The second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." So to help us keep his commandments, Jesus has asked the Father to send us the Holy Spirit. Interesting, there's the Trinity in action. Jesus is asking the Father to send the Spirit, the Holy Trinity, and it's in action. Jesus' commandments and the love of God and love of others, they all go hand in hand. Love God. Love others. Do the commandments. Listen to Jesus. Follow in his ways. You see, they all form a bond within our life. A bond that the world does not know, because they do not know Jesus, nor do they have the presence of the Holy Spirit. The result of having this bond with Jesus is this promise that he makes to us in John's gospel. For Jesus says, "The one who loves me and will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." What a promise to be loved by the Father and the Son, and then to experience the presence of Jesus via the Holy Spirit. Last week, I had the joy of preaching at Cochranville United Methodist Church, where a couple were here. Peter and Edel were there when I preached. And my sermon topic was the holiness of God, or with a subtitle, experiencing the presence of God. I asked them to close their eyes and to ponder this statement: how have I experienced the presence of God in my life? Perhaps you should take that statement and ponder that in your heart also. How have I experienced the presence of God in my life? Jesus just told us that he will show himself to us, to those who love him. Well, at the end of the service, I reopened the question and I asked them that same question again. How have I experienced the presence of God in my life? And then I said, we all need to be alert and aware of God's presence, for he is at work in our daily lives. Our problem is that we don't recognize his presence. And the things that happen to us day by day, we just think that they're the common things of life. They're the everyday facts of life. But you know, if you look deeper at what has transpired in your life, you may see God's presence working in your daily life. Jesus goes on to confirm this in John's gospel by saying, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings, my commandments. My Father will love them, And we, and there you have the Holy Trinity again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will come to them and make our home with them. Do you know, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in your life? God is present in your life? As believers in Jesus, those of you who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior, I trust you have. I trust that you have given your life to Christ. I trust that you said, Lord, come into my life. Be part of my life. For we have read and seen that we have the Trinity then as part of our lives and will make a home within us. We all need to be aware that we experience God in our life each and every day. So you ask, how can we love others? We do so because God's love is active and working within us. And this gives us the incentive to love others, no matter who they are. Don't be afraid to love God and to love others. For we're told in our 1 John text, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and no one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He, that is God, first loved us. His love is the incentive. It's the motive. It's the moral cause for us to love Him in return and to also love other people. Well, we have looked at two wonderful passages of Scripture. And if there is one key verse or so, it would be these verses taken from the 1 John epistle, the first one that he wrote, which says, Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we love Him and that He is in us, for He has given us of His Spirit. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, we have read and heard your holy gospel, and we thank you for first loving us. Your essence is love, for we learned that God is love. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for assuring us of your love so that we may love you in return and to love others. Amen.